put this wherever you want.
Sure. Air good?
Sure.
I'm good over here.
We've been looking at 1 Peter, and one of the things that we notice when we look at 1 Peter is that in the first paragraph of this letter, there's a reference to the Trinity. In verse 3, we see God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, mentioned. And then, as we get to verse 3, we see Jesus Christ referred to in great detail. And now, as we get to verses 11 and 12, we see a reference to the Holy Spirit. The Spirit that caused the message of what Jesus Christ came to do to be understood. And that's important for us because we actually have come to an amazing time in history. We've come to a time that has been referred to in the book of Daniel, the book that we were reading. Daniel chapter 12 and verse 4 says this, Daniel, but you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. Shut up the words and seal the book. But then, as we come to Revelation 22 and verse 10, we read something very different. And he said to me, do not seal the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. Why the change? Why the difference between Daniel chapter 12 and verse 4 and Revelation 22:10? It's because we have come to the time of the fulfillment of prophecy. We've come to the time in which the words that were given to Daniel are being fulfilled, and they're being fulfilled through Jesus Christ. This verse, verse 10, begins to speak of salvation, a salvation that the prophets searched and inquired carefully to try to find out about. Look at what it says there in verse 10. Of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you. These prophets who spoke in the Old Testament did not know the full meaning of the prophecies that they were speaking, the prophecies that they were writing. They had to search and inquire carefully that they might understand the full meaning of everything that has been revealed. That was true of Daniel. Daniel was given the book that he was to seal up, and in Revelation we find that this book is open. And this is what is happening in this time in which Jesus has come. Grace has been given to us to live in a time in which the knowledge of the prophecies that were given in the Old Testament is revealed. The full revelation. It's that passage in Luke 24 that we saw as Jesus unpacked the meaning of the Old Testament, the law and the prophets and the Psalms. He's telling us about the fulfillment of the promises in the Scriptures. He's telling us about the fulfillment of the three categories of the Old Testament. It all points to Jesus Christ. And that's what these prophets were searching and inquiring carefully, trying to find out. What is it that they saw? They saw something that is now called grace. The grace that has come to us. Listen to this verse. Of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you. You and I have been included in the knowledge of the grace of God in Jesus Christ, as it's fulfilled through the prophecies that were given and their fulfillment in Jesus Christ. In that verse there, there's actually a word that that is the word "the" that's included. It's the grace. And you see that in your verse. But it's the grace that comes to you. It's literally the "to you" grace. You have been given this grace. You have knowledge of something that the prophets of the Old Testament, those who were vehicles of God's revelation, did not have. Something that they did not understand. Something that the disciples on the road to Emmaus did not understand. Even though Jesus Christ, the risen one, was walking alongside them. The knowledge that the Old Testament prophecies that were pointing forward to Jesus Christ have now been fulfilled. This is the fulfillment of prophecy. This is the grace that you've been given. The gospel of Jesus Christ. What were they trying to find out? Well, they were trying to find out, as it says in verse 11, what or what manner of time the Spirit in Christ of Christ who is in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ. What is happening in the... We're having papers blow all over the place. What is happening as the prophets are seeking to understand what they are given is that the Spirit of Christ is working in them. He's working in them to show them that there is something that is revealing a great day in the future when the Lord was going to work in a mighty way. He was going to bring a king who would reign on David's throne. He was going to bring the fulfillment of all of his promises for a sanctuary, a place where God's people would worship in a holy way. And that is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. You see, these prophets and those who heard their prophecies only understood partially, only in part. They understood what was said about the gospel of Jesus Christ, but in promise form. And now we have the same message in fulfillment form. And that's quite important. It's important for us because Jesus actually declared that it's important for us in Matthew 13 and verse 17, when he said to his disciples, "For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it." You see, we have a privileged vantage point in the history of redemption. We have a privilege that even the prophets of the Old Testament did not have. The apostles had a privileged vantage point too. They saw the risen Christ. But these prophets who wrote to us, these prophets who have given us the scriptures, and the Holy Spirit gave the scriptures through the prophets, did not give us the clarity, did not give them the clarity, I should say, that we have today. So, because these prophets could not plumb the depths of their promises, doesn't mean that it wasn't true. Doesn't mean that it wasn't a full and glorious prophetic word of God. But the apostles could not leave their hearers where Moses, David, and Isaiah left them. And so, when the book of Acts came along, the apostles began to preach from the Old Testament to speak of Jesus Christ. And they began to prove that the Old Testament pointed forward to Him. This is exactly what Jesus was saying in Luke 24. They followed the pattern of Jesus' teaching. Jesus said in John 5, verse 46, "If you believe Moses, you will believe Me, for he wrote about Me." Jesus is saying that Moses speaks of Him. And so that's why when these prophets were searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating, they were searching for something that we're told right here in the pages of Scripture, something that we're told specifically. The Spirit of Christ testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. The sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. That's what we are given. That's what we are told That's the gospel message that we are given. The Apostle Paul knew his Old Testament. He knew the Hebrew Scriptures. And this is how he summarizes the gospel in Acts 26, verse 22. Therefore, having obtained help from God, to this day I stand, witnessing both the small and great, saying no other things than those which the prophets and Moses said would come, that the Christ would suffer, that he would be the first to rise from the dead, and would proclaim light to the Jewish people and to the Gentiles. The Apostle Paul is given this insight, that the prophets and Moses speak of the coming of Jesus Christ, the one who would suffer and rise from the dead. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he would give life to Jewish people and Gentiles. That is everyone. There were prophecies of the Messiah. The sufferings of Jesus Christ and the glory to follow means that he's going to suffer the curse on the seed of the woman. Without suffering to make atonement for sin, the judgment on Satan could not occur. And the full weight of what is given to us in Revelation 12, as the dragon, that ancient serpent, the devil, is cast down, can no longer accuse the people of God, would not have happened without the suffering of Jesus Christ. And yet the verse here speaks of glories, more than one. Glories. It's the resurrection. It's the ascension into heaven. It's the exaltation of Jesus Christ. His glories today. Jesus Christ is the one who rules today. And this has been testified beforehand by the Spirit of Christ speaking in the Old Testament. That's why it's important for us to read our Bibles. That's why it's important for us to know what our Bibles say, even in the Old Testament, because it's the Spirit of Christ testifying of the sufferings of Jesus Christ and the glories to follow. But there's something else that's quite wonderful that's given to us as we go on in this passage to read verse 12. We find out that it was revealed to these prophets, the prophets who did not exactly know what way or manner of time the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow would happen. To them it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us. They were ministering the things which now have been reported to you. It was not to themselves, but to us that they were ministering. In other words, these prophets were servants. They were servants of God who were given revelation from God that we might understand it, that we might understand the glories of the gospel more completely, and we might understand it more fully. You see, they obeyed Jesus Christ. They put their faith in Jesus Christ in the Old Covenant period, but they did so in promise form. Now we have the fulfillment. And so these prophets were serving not themselves, but us, believers in Jesus Christ, through the things that have been reported to you, through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. The Holy Spirit is sent from heaven that you might understand the gospel. That's the glory of the message given to us in the Bible, given to us in this passage. The Spirit of Christ inhabited these Old Testament prophets, inhabited their declaration of what was going to be revealed. But they did not serve themselves, they served us. And we might have the Holy Spirit help us to understand. The Spirit of Christ was in them. It's important that we understand that through the Holy Spirit, we understand the message of Jesus Christ. That's what Romans 8, verse 9 says. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. What does it mean to belong to Jesus Christ? It means you have the Spirit of Christ dwelling inside of you. That Spirit that descended upon Jesus at his baptism. That Spirit that drove him into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. That Spirit that enabled you and I to embrace Jesus Christ. The Spirit that raised him from the dead. The Spirit that caused the Scriptures to be written in the first place. The Spirit of Christ inhabiting the Old Testament prophets was designed so that you might believe the gospel message. But there's something else that's given to us here. Not only do the prophets desire to understand before Jesus comes what was about to happen, but also the angels. The angels are desiring to look into these things. You see, angels are either fallen or unfallen, but they don't move from one category to the other. That's what the scriptures tell us. They cannot be converted as we can. And that's why the angels long to look into these things. They long to understand. The language here is a language of craning one's neck. It's like a giraffe looking over a fence at the zoo, craning his neck to see the people on the other side. People looking up and saying, you know, why don't you have a mask on? Stuff like that. And the giraffe, you know, tries to understand. Angels are trying to understand. Now, that might seem weird. Why is it that angels are trying to understand these things? Well, first of all, we've seen that angels are not those who move from being under a state of wrath to being in a state of grace. Angels do not experience salvation in that way. But as we look at John 20, we see something else. We see an angel who's actually perplexed on the day of Christ's resurrection. And it's an important passage for us to think about. I want you to just think about this in terms of angels being perplexed or confused. Listen to this. Now, the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Peter therefore went out, and the other disciple, and they were going to the tomb. So they both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen cloth lying there, yet he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb, and saw the linen cloth lying there, and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen cloth, but folded together in a place by itself. You see what's happening. The resurrection has already happened, and the disciples are there. But they still do not understand. They still do not believe. Then the other disciple, who came to the tomb first, went in also, and he saw and believed. And the explanation is given, "For as yet they did not know the scripture, that he must rise from the dead." Then the disciples went away to their own homes. But Mary, you see, stood outside by the tomb weeping. And as she wept, she stooped and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white, sitting one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. Then they said to her, and this is the question, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, and she did not know it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me wherever you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him, "Rabboni," which is to say, "teacher." I want you to understand something. It's very easy to read this passage and say, you know, well, the angels were asking a question of Mary. They were seeking to get into her mindset, and they were asking why you're weeping on the day of resurrection. It's a counseling question. It's a question that's designed to provoke her to think. That's true of what Jesus asked her. But if we understand this passage and what it says about the angels, that the angels desire to look into these things, we get another way of understanding this question. The angels truly did not understand why she was weeping. They did not understand how she could not understand that Christ was risen, that Jesus Christ had been raised from the dead. They see this spiritual reality all the time. The victory of Jesus Christ, the triumph of Jesus Christ, his rule. They knew it from the very beginning. They have been worshiping him, the angels, night and day, we find out in Isaiah 6. Angels, you see, long to look into the mystery of our salvation. And now we begin to understand something about the full wonder of what God is doing in Jesus Christ, because he has raised him from the dead and he has caused him to be the source of salvation for men and women and boys and girls. And men and women and boys and girls are astounding to angels, because the angels do not move from being under a state of wrath to being under in a state of grace. They do not understand why we would not see the resurrection when it is a spiritual reality that has happened. In Mary's experience, she moves from darkness to light. She moves from grief to joy. She begins to worship the ascended Christ. Just like that, as he speaks to her. And this is something that the angels did not have that experience. The reason that's important to you and to me is this. If angels long to understand these things, if it's difficult for them to see the transition from wrath to grace, the transition from darkness to light, the transition from grief to joy, if they cannot see it, fallen angels cannot see it either. Which means that you're protected. Which means you're protected and you're safe, because Jesus Christ is your Savior, and the angels who are trying to oppose you, the fallen angels, cannot grasp what's going on. It's a glorious reality. And we have found that we have a privilege that surpasses the privilege of the Old Testament prophets, surpasses even the privileges of the angels in some respects, because we have been inhabited by the Spirit of the risen Lord Jesus Christ, and we understand the gospel message that Jesus Christ suffered in order to enter glory, the glory of his resurrection, the glory of his ascension, and the glory where he rules now. Let's pray together. Gracious Heavenly Father, we desire to understand the full privileges that we have as believers in Jesus Christ. We thank you that you've given to us this knowledge, that what we have been given in the gospel message is a message that points us to the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who enables us to rejoice even though we've been grieved by various trials, the one who enables us to rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, because we are receiving the end of our faith, the salvation of our souls. We thank you that through the Spirit of Jesus Christ, we can love one whom we have not seen, even the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we thank you that you've given to us these privileges by your Spirit to understand the gospel of Jesus Christ, his sufferings and his glories, and what we have been shown by the Spirit of Jesus Christ that surpasses even the privileges given to the Old Testament prophets and the angels. And Father, we ask that you would help us to value and to relish and to drink in the great wonder of the privileges we've been given when we hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.